I would like to ask you to turn the scriptures to the chapter we just read in 2 Chronicles, chapter 33. It's interesting. Could I have, please, a glass of water? It's interesting that this story, this account, gives us hope. Doesn't it? There is hope. If you look carefully, my friend, Manasseh was a bad king. Wasn't a good king. Was a bad king. He was probably one of the kings who reigned the longest in Judah. 55 years. Now, I'll leave to you to make a quick calculation how long the queen has reigned in our country since 1952. Pretty long reign, hasn't it? Many things have changed since 1952 in this land, and many things are no longer what they used to be. And so when we look at Manasseh, we have to look and think about this. He was the son of a good king. He was the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, if you look in chapter 29, thank you for the word. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And then if you jump to verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. And Hezekiah himself was the son of a bad king, so he had to restore the worship of the true God in Judah. But now Manasseh is born. Hezekiah was taken with a serious illness towards the end of his reign. In chapter 32, verse 24, says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick to death, and prayed unto the Lord, and spake unto him, and he gave him a sign." He was proud. He showed his treasures to the envoys of Babylon. And then Hezekiah was given 15 years as more of his of life, and probably Manasseh was born during that time. First of all, we have this, my friend. We have Manasseh starting to reign at 12. He must have seen he must have been told what the Lord has done for Judah. He must have seen how his father behaved. But learned nothing. He learned nothing at all. He did not learn to follow the God of his father. He did not learn to obey the law of God. In fact, he says this: he rebelled by did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He didn't follow his father's godly example. Is it not that the case, my friend, at times among Christian families? Well, we have serious problems when children do not follow the Lord. It's not guaranteed that our children will necessarily follow the Lord. But we trust that the Lord is able to save them. And so we see here, my friend, Manasseh doing all, he rebelled against God. And he did everything to undo his father's work. His father reigned for 29 years. And this boy of 12 did everything to undo what his father had built in 29 years. And 55 years of reign are quite a long time. So my friend, we have to look at this. He rebelled. Oh my friend, if you are a young person and if you are have the privilege to being brought up in a Christian home, be careful when you undo the things that the Lord has done in the life of your family. Look at the consequences. He did that which was evil. And verse 3, he built again the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. So he started to rebel against God, but he started to build again. And look at this. Even when worse, he built again the high places, in verse 3, which Hezekiah's father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Baalim. Ah, the Baal, the worship of Baal was a very immoral worship. And made groves and worshiped all the host of heavens and served them. Manasseh went even further than his grandfather Ahaz in doing what is wrong. Why? Let me give you an example. In those days, they believed, and his grandfather believed, Ahaz, that if he worshipped the king, the gods of the heathen nations, he will be granted victory. And so, Manasseh returned to worship the gods of the other nations, the heathen that the Lord had defeated before Israel in time past. He sort of took the attitude, if you cannot beat them, join them. How wrong. And this is the very dangerous position we have today, my friends, when people who had the privilege to hear the word of God, they follow the world. They think it's too much. It's too much to stand alone. It's too much to keep the law of God. And Manasseh decided to rebel and to join. Not only did that, my friend, there is worse. When we start to depart from the ways of the Lord, when the nation rebels against God, and we can see in our country that people have moved away from the ways of the Lord. People are not interested. And it's hard to digest, isn't it? That people are so indifferent. That Manasseh even built altars in the temple. Altars, in verse 4, and he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Not only if they'd add to the worship of God, he actually polluted the worship of God itself. How does a nation begins to depart from the ways of God? By first upsetting that there are other gods. Now we are not pagan, we don't worship idols, but we may take into our hearts the philosophy and way of reasoning of the world. We may have upset and welcome or think not a problem, not an issue to start reasoning like the world by saying that sin, that certain sins are not sin. Let me give you an example, a very simple example. We don't need to go into gross sin, lying. Little example. Everybody says a lie. Why can't I lie? Little example. We start with a little sin and then one thing after another. We break one commandment of God and then we start upsetting that other things are normal. In fact, the only three commandments we probably, we wouldn't, stealing, murdering, committing adultery is what we are left with when we start departing from the ways. And even the seventh one, the adultery one, becomes in our mind a trap. So Manasseh rebelled. Now let me give you another thing which is very important. We often think that when we sin, it only affects us. Don't we? We say, well, I'm the only one who is sinning. I'm the only one who is committing this. It won't do. I'm not causing any other people problems. But you see, in their rebellion, Manasseh, in his rebellion, he caused his children to pass through the fire. He caused Israel to err. Now let me give you this point. Verse 6 says, and he caused his children to pass through the fire. He started also to practice human sacrifice. In verse 9, that was what I meant to say, was this. So Manasseh made Judah to, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. So when we start sinning, let's bear in mind when we start backsliding, when we start rebelling against God, that we take others with us. It's not true that when we do something, it only affects us. In fact, Manasseh caused, how important that verb, he caused. So in his rebellion, he caused others to follow. And he did worse. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the Son of Hinnom. That's human sacrifice. Now let me give you a little bit of history on that. There is no trace of the worship of Moloch in Israel. But if you come to Sicily, outside a little highland called Mozia, they actually found the altar of Moloch. And there used to offer little children as a sacrifice. Actually, they used to take the children of poor people so that rich people would not have to sacrifice their own children. And the mother would have to place the child in the hands of this horrible monstrous idol. It was an idol made of bronze. And there was a trench underneath with fire. And they had to sing and sing praises to this idol as to cover the screams of the child as the child fell into the fire. You wonder why the Lord destroyed the peoples of Canaan? Their cruelty? And are we not today, my friends? Our society is equally cruel when we kill unborn children with no mercy. And so we are here, Manasseh even going as far as a human sacrifice and also as practicing the occult. He's the only king we have here who is listed in the scriptures as are using enchantments, witchcraft, and dealt with familiar spirit. Now let me tell you what a familiar spirit is. It's a kind of evil spirit which a human being can talk to, and he gets an answer in an audible voice. That is the level of evil Manasseh caused. The evil Manasseh practice. He brought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. My friend, if you are, I don't know your heart, but if you are rebelling against the Lord and you are doing things which are evil, be careful when you provoke the Lord to anger. Be careful when you provoke the Lord to anger. And let's see this, my friend. Today, our society is provoking the Lord to anger. Our Christian nation is provoking him to anger. And so this rebellion even set a carved image, an idol, inside the very temple. What idol are we allowing to take to be beside God in our own heart? They were commanded to be faithful. They were commanded, but they didn't listen. There was a warning. So you see, the situation here is it's a very bad situation, and if I've spoken much more about the very bad, very evil, very despair. And in another account in King, he told that Manasseh killed many innocent people as well. It was not only provoking the Lord by his following pagan religion, but he was a very cruel king. And yet we see that the Lord is faithful to his people, and the Lord is faithful to his Israel. He was warned. Verse 10, and the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people. The Lord is gracious and merciful, and he spoke to Manasseh through his servants, through his prophets, and to his people. Now it's not only the king has caused the people to err. The king and the people are now getting used to the idea that they can have the religion whichever way they want. And they did not listen. They would not hearken. They would not hearken. Now, I'm sure, I trust that we are not, some of us, we are not, I hope none of us is practicing any kind of witchcraft, but if we are rebelling against the Lord, if we are allowing certain ways of thinking of the world which are in contrast and opposition to the way of God, and the Lord is talking to our hearts, let us be careful not to ignore what the Lord is telling us. The Lord speaks to us through his word. He exhorts us. He rebukes us. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to return to him. And especially when we are in that backslidden way. But Manasseh is being warned, is being addressed, but he will not listen. Now there's something here. You see, the king will not listen, but the people will not listen. So there is a responsibility here. And again, when we think that our behavior, when we are backslidden, or when we are in rebellion against God, does not affect others. Manasseh caused the people to err. Now the people are upset at what Manasseh has been telling them, that they can worship God, or the gods they want. So let us be careful ourselves, especially us fathers who have responsibility in the home. Let us be careful that we do not allow little sins, because our children do notice. And those of us who are not yet fathers, a little warning. Make sure you don't let sin, little sins, to become your habit. Because your children, if you have a family, will notice. Other people who are younger than you will notice. So there is a warning here. But the warning is ignored. Manasseh, we are told in the history, in a book, in his secular history, interesting, Manasseh, he joined a rebellion against the king of Assyria. Judah was no longer an independent state, it was a tribute state to Assyria. And Manasseh was defeated. Verse 11, "Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon." You know, my friend, when we are in rebellion against God, when a nation rebels against God, when individuals rebel against God, and they're warned, they're exhorted, they're rebuked, and they don't listen, the Lord will surely bring His judgment upon those people. Now, I don't know if you have experienced yourself, but is it not sometimes when we are not listening to God, things don't go well? When we are not in obedience to His word, our day is not easy. When we neglect prayer, when we don't confess sins, which we are confronted with. Now, you don't have to confess your sins to me. I'm not a Roman Catholic priest. But you need to confess your sin. We need to confess our sins to God. And we need to acknowledge them. And there are sins which are known to us and to God alone. Not even our friends, not even our family, not even our wife or husband knows about his sin. But the Lord knows. And when we don't confess and when we don't listen, the Lord brings judgment. And let me tell you, what we sow we reap. Manasseh thought, "I can do what I want. Look, it's 55 years long reign. He ignored the warnings of God. He did what he wanted. He thought he had it all sorted out. He thought he could do more. He thought and he trusted in all the spirits, in all his idols, in all the occult he practiced. He thought he had all the supports of the gods of the heathen nations, and he could defy Assyria. Instead, the Lord sent Assyria to punish him. Your sin will find you out." It's a terrible truth, my friends. And that is what today in many churches is not preached anymore. We don't talk about sin finding the individual out. And so here these are, this verse is very interesting. Wherefore the Lord brought upon the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. The expression took Manasseh among thorns has also another meaning. He had no escape. No escape. He was in a situation he could not extricate himself. He was a rebel to his lord, the king of Assyria. He could not escape. He was taken. And he had no escape. And Lord, and my friends, when we rebel against the Lord, and when people rebel against the Lord, and the Lord comes and judges, they have no escape. They cannot blame other people. We cannot blame other people. And Manasseh, he is carried, is bound with fetters. You know, when we are in rebellion, we are prisoners of our sin. We are prisoners of our own guilty conscience. If you remember in the New Testament, there is the parable of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son thought that he had everything figured out in his life. He would take his father's money. He will do what he wants. He went to a foreign country. He spent it all in sin. And when he was reduced to be a guard in a pigsty, he came to himself and realized his sin. And so that happens also to Manasseh in verse 12. When he was in affliction, sometimes the Lord has to deal with us, and he has to deal with people in a very strong way. He had to afflict him. And sometimes we are afflicted because of our sin. He was in affliction. And he realized that all the host of heaven he was praying to, all the witchcraft he practiced, they could not help him. They could not deliver him. They could not give him peace. Oh, we can try to reform ourselves, but that doesn't work. He was afflicted. And he besought the Lord is God. Oh, when we come to the point of beseeching, oh, the Lord. He besought the Lord is God. Oh, listen carefully here. Now, this God was not his God. This Lord was not his Lord. He never mentioned him. He never prayed to him. And now he's beseeching him. He besought the Lord his God. Oh, he went out to humble himself before him. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy verse 1, chapter 1, where verse 15 and 16 says this very interesting word. 1 Timothy 1, 15 to 14 to 16. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Oh, Paul was a religious man. He was a zealous man, but he was set to destroy the law, the work of the church, and he was a chief of sinners. and he obtained mercy. Christ came to save sinners. And because of the mercy of God, Manasseh was able to be, was reconciled and saved. In Isaiah 1 verse 18, it says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." They shall be as wool. Manasseh was a terrible sinner. We'll probably say there was no hope for him. But he humbled himself greatly. The work of the Holy Spirit in his life, through the affliction, he began to beseech the Lord, and he humbled himself greatly. Oh, this great king is a little man, a lost sinner, and a repentant. And he didn't go, he repented and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Now listen, he's going back to the Lord. The Lord he only knew by name or heard about it, but he didn't know himself. Do you know the Lord as your Lord and Savior? Do you know the true God? Remember that sometime when Paul was preaching the gospel, Felix did tremble, but didn't become a Christian. Sometimes when we hear the word of God preached, we are touched, or we need to be changed. You know, sometimes the Lord stirs up in our hearts. The Lord moves something within us. He's unsettling us. He wants us to be, if you're not converted, he wants to call you to repentance and faith. The Lord also, if you are saved, wants to call you to be holy and to follow him. And there are things which are not right. And we need to humble ourselves. And when we humble ourselves, when we are touched, we need to carry on. We need to follow what the Lord has done. He besought himself greatly, and he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him. Oh, the Lord hear. The Lord heard his supplication. He went to the Lord, and he prayed fervently to be forgiven and to be restored. Sometimes the Lord allows us to go through difficult times so that we may learn to be more dependent upon him. And there is another interesting aspect. Verse 13, "And the Lord brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom." Well, you know, it's interesting here because in the books of the king of Assyria, such a king would be a traitor. He was restored. How the Lord restored him back to his kingdom. And see the change. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. It was a great work of God. The Lord is able to restore. The Lord is able to change. Now sometimes we want to change, and we fail when we are backslidden. The sinner, the lost sinner, when he realizes he's gone too far, he wants to reform himself, but he cannot succeed. But when is the Lord working in the heart of man, there is success, because it's completely the work of the Lord. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Oh, there is no more in his mind any acceptance of any other gods. He's not thinking that God, the Lord God, is one of many. There is only one God. My friend, we are called to acknowledge him as the only true God. Now we may not have idols, But what about the idols of our own hearts? Everything which takes a precedence over God is an idol. The first place in our life must belong to God. And so here we have a change. It built up wall. He had neglected to protect his people. Verse 14. After this he built up wall without the city of David. He built up wall. He fortified his cities. And then verse 15. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. When our soul is changed, when a sinner is saved, he must get rid of sin. He must get rid of all the things of the past which offend God. And when a believer is restored to God, he must get rid of all those things which had obstructed his fellowship with God. No half measures. We must get rid of all those things which cause us to err from the ways of God, and we must restore those things which cause us to follow God. And he took away and he prepared the altar of the Lord. Now the temple, can you imagine the temple had been desecrated, polluted with other images. Now it's been repaired. Now is being restored. Singleness of mind. We repair the altar of the Lord and sacrifice their own peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. What a change. The king who caused the people to err, now is the king who's calling his people to follow the Lord God only. What a witness. This message gives us, I'm about to conclude, this message gives us another thing here. We have a message here. We have to be careful of not adopting the ways of thinking of the world. We have to be careful not to excuse sin in our lives. We have to also aware that even the person, maybe people we love, Manasseh was the son of a godly king. Children who are not walking in the ways of the Lord at this time in their lives, who are probably so far away that we think completely lost, the Lord is able to save them. And the Lord is able to call them to repentance and faith. So we must not despair, but trust in the Lord. Prophets, when the Lord used his prophets to warn Manasseh, the Lord will use us to warn those people. The other thing which I want to say is that be careful. We need to be... Manasseh did one thing which was wrong. He only cast out the altars. Unfortunately, verse 17 says, nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God. That was not the way God commanded worship. And later on, if you read towards his son Amon, when he was 22 years old, began his reign, and he did that was evil before the Lord, because he did not Manasseh did not completely destroy paganism. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 5, I'll read it to you. There's a command which is very, for the people of Israel, which was very radical about idols. The Lord talks about, talking about when Israel will depart from the ways. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. That's centuries before. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. The destruction of all the idols. Not just the casting out. The complete destruction. If there are things in our life which are an hindrance to ourselves and even to the also the people, even when we are repentant, we must not just simply say we're not going to have them. We must completely destroy. Let me give you an example. If you have some literature which when you were unconverted or when you were backslidden, you had some literature which was not good, or you used to watch with movies which were not good, and you have still the material. You must not simply give it away. You must get rid of it. You must destroy it. It's no good to give material to a charity shop. You destroy it. You must not pass it on. That's a lesson there as well. Well, though we must destroy all the things which lead us to sin, which are ours. Little things, we must get rid of it. We must not pass them on to others. We must not cause other people to to fall into sin. Let us, that's what I want to exhort you to do. I'll have a word of prayer before we conclude. And Lord, we come before your presence this morning. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help us to deal with all those things which are an hindrance to our Christian work. Lord, we are not saying that we are innocent or that we have no sin. Thou knowest our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to acknowledge our sins and our rebellion and confess it to Thee. Help us, O Lord, to destroy those idols which we have set in our own hearts, those idols and way of thinking which are against Thy Word. That are an entrance to our spiritual walk, to our Christian life, to our prayer life. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst set us free. Help us, O Lord, to give a godly example. Yes, O Lord, we need men and women of God today that they would be an example to the younger generation, a pattern of godliness according to thy word. And we pray also for those we love who have heard the gospel, who probably were brought up in a Christian family, and they are Manassas, and our hearts are broken because we loved them. O Lord, we pray that thou would help us to be the messengers, thy messengers to them. But we beseech thee, O Lord, that thou will break them down, that they may beseech thee themselves that they may know that thou art the only true God, the only true Savior. And this we ask, the forgiveness of our sins.